Good day and welcome to the Waystations Ministries podcast. I'm Greg Spencer with a light for your journey and a good word for the road. It's great to be traveling together and I thank you for coming with me. Let's ride together for a while. Well, good day, friends. It's Greg Spencer from Waystations Ministries reaching out to you again, and I thank you for tuning in to our Waystations podcast. It's an interesting time for us to be alive and to be living and sharing together, and I hope things are going well for you. I pray for your health and well-being. This is just a challenging time for us in so many ways. So many things are starting to become clear to us simply because of the adversity that we're facing. That's not a bad thing. It's a learning time, and it may be a helpful time for us too. So as we think about it for this week, I want to remind you what Waystations is all about. On your journey of life, you will find times along that journey that you want to stop and take a break. You may want to get something to eat or something to drink. You may want to rest a little bit. You may want to get up and stretch your legs, refresh and renew yourself before you get back on that road and continue on your way. Well, that's what the idea or the concept of Waystations is, that there are many different places where we can reach out and we can hopefully bring refreshment and renewal and encouragement along the way. So some of the ways we're doing that is through this podcast. We're also doing a daily devotion on the most weekdays. That's at Facebook. It's also shared by email that you can subscribe to by going to waystationsministries.org. We are doing something called Steamworks Spirit Station, which is an exciting thing. We are meeting in a creative listening room in Gibsonia, Pennsylvania on Tuesday evenings at 7 o'clock. And in those events, it is broadcast on Facebook Live. We try to record it and also post it on YouTube. And of course, you can attend as well. So if you're in the area, we'd encourage you to be a part of the family as we gather together. But in that creative listening room, again, part of Waystation's concept is bringing heaven and earth together. So it's not a religious site. It's not about religion there. It's about spirituality there. And we use music to engage us with a variety of artists and musicians and singers and songwriters of all different styles and genres. And they do two sets in an hour. And in between the two, I offer a spiritual message to try to help and encourage, similar to what we do here at the podcast. So those are just some of the ways. When Waystation started, one of the things we did very early on is I would go to Lake Erie, where they have some fantastic sunsets. They've been known around the world for the beauty of the sunsets. And so for several years, I went to the beach on Sunday afternoons, taking all my sound equipment, and we would provide music for a certain beach that I had worked out with the Park Service. And we would set up all afternoon and enjoy music while we were enjoying play or whatever. And then about half hour before the sunset, we would have a worship service at the beach. And we would teach a chorus, we'd have a little scripture, there would be an informal prayer, there would be a message. And then for the sunset itself, we wanted just music where people could sit back, listen to some great music, and watch the sun sink beneath the waves. And we did that every Sunday for several years. And it was really a fun experience. In fact, I'm talking now about doing that somewhere along the Allegheny River in Pittsburgh. Now, we won't see the sun set behind the water, but it does set behind the mountains. And some of the evening views in Pittsburgh are just wonderful. So we may be doing that in the near future. Well, maybe not so near. We'll wait until after the winter's over. Well, anyway, the idea is to bring healing, comfort, help, renewal, inspiration and encouragement, maybe new vision, new ways of living, helping us to make better choices and to live more effectively, and certainly with more joy. In the time that we have on this earth, the more joy we can have, the better. So that's what Waystations Ministries is, and I'm the pastor thereof. So, for our session today, how do you see other people? I've been concerned about a lot of people seem to disregard the humanity of others. They see them as obstacles. They see them as competitors. They really don't regard their needs or respect one another. They fight against each other. And sometimes it's over ideas. Sometimes it's over power, influence. Sometimes it's over popularity. Sometimes it's in direct competition, like sporting events. But there's always this effort to try to get ahead or to get over and to depersonalize the other side or the other person. And I don't think that that's healthy. I don't think that's effective. I think most of the time, when we treat each other like that, we both suffer. One or the other may win or lose the argument, but the relationship is damaged because of it. And that's going to affect the way your future contacts will be. I think when we fight over an issue, win or lose, we build a certain thought or feeling about the other side, and then it's very difficult to overcome that. We may not even want to. And that's what I seem to see around the world today. Somehow we've gotten away from any idea of unity or cooperation or encouragement. We just don't. And I'm not sure that's effective. Now, everybody has human problems. Everybody has human desires. Everybody has human needs. There is nothing wrong with that. But people are different, and the way they see things and the way they understand things are different. And that's okay. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that either. What I think is we need to find a way to agree together. I had an attorney friend once who said that the value of attorneys is helping the two sides come to an agree on a way of living that is acceptable to both. Neither one gets all their way, so it's an acceptable level of misery. We never get it all the way we want, but we find something that we can both live with. Now, John Wesley, who is the founder of Wesleyan theology, of course, he had a different point of view about that. He talked about pluralism and inclusion as a central tenet of what it means to be Christian. And that idea basically is that everybody is allowed to be different, but inclusion means that we can all belong together. Now, in order for that to work, we have to be willing to disagree. You can have your opinion, I can have mine, and somehow we will find a way to cooperate or a way to understand or a way to respect that allows each other their selfhood, but we can also build fellowship together. Unity in the essential things, but in the non-essential things, freedom. And I think that's a very valuable way to look at things. I think that's a good way to look at life. I think it's a good way for us to treat one another. And I think we'll find a lot more peace and satisfaction in the struggles that we have when we learn how to work with each other, how to be a community together. We're actually better off, if you think about it. Not everybody has the same skills. Not everybody has the same experience or wisdom. So when we are willing to offer those gifts that we have to each other and the strengths that we have to each other, we will all benefit and be better off. There are certain things that I can do, and there are certain things I can't do, and I need to depend on someone else to help me out with those. And I'm sure that's true for all of us. So it is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was writing to a group of Christians at a new church, young church. They really didn't know what it meant to be a church yet. They're struggling and trying to say, what's it mean to be a fellowship? What's it mean to be a church? What's it mean to be a group of people that are giving attention to their faith in the midst of the world? Now, these people lived in the city of Corinth, which was a very large, bustling city. And in that season, that time, there were a lot of different philosophies, a lot of different economies. It was a center of world commerce and world trade, world cultures coming together. And so what they're struggling with is, how do we be faithful in the middle of all of that? How can we be who we are and be strong in that? And what Paul writes in the second gathering of letters to the people in Corinth, chapter 5, he writes this: from now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. And see, everything has become new. Now, What's it mean to regard someone from a human point of view? Sometimes we look at others as obstacles or as opponents. Sometimes we dehumanize them in order to find worth for ourselves. Everybody needs to have meaning. Everybody needs to have worth. Unfortunately, too many people tend to try to get that benefit by putting someone else down. They try to build themselves up by considering themselves better than someone else, or that their position is right and the other is wrong. And that's not really true. Let me ask you, if someone in this day of coronavirus wants to wear a mask, is that wrong? On the other hand, if someone doesn't want to wear a mask, are they wrong? Well, the answer, of course, is both are right. Both have their own points of view. They have their own experiences. And in a free democracy, they're free to hold on to their opinions and to live by them. That's totally okay. Certainly, in the last several weeks and months, I think we have seen the power of belief. My caution is that we need to be very careful about what we believe, how we choose to believe, who we're going to listen to, what we're going to trust. Those are very important decisions to make, and we can see what happens and the consequences based upon what our beliefs are. But if both of these are right, then how do they live together? Well, each one of us has a certain level of individual freedom, but the limit of that freedom is where our freedom imposes harm upon someone else. If that happens, whether it's by action or inaction, then we're creating some problems and we're responsible and we're liable not to do that. So, how do we overcome ourselves? How do we overcome our emotions or our opinions or our passion in our positions? Well, we regard people not from a human point of view. Instead, we want to try to look at every single person as a creation. Every single one of all the billions of people on this earth, every single one created by God, loved by God, cared for by God, and sustained in life through God. If we're precious unto God, then we want to be real careful about how we treat someone that's the apple of God's eye. And if all of us are that, then we need to be careful about everyone that we relate to and everyone we talk to and everything we do. And that's the idea. When you think about your spiritual values first, when you think about what's right and wrong first, when you think about other person's well-being equal to or superior to your own, then you start treating people the way God treats us. God certainly doesn't have any need to love us or care for us or regard us in any way, and yet God chooses to do that. God chooses to give us life every single moment, every heartbeat, every breath. God abides with us and provides blessings to us in every single day, every single circumstance. Sometimes they're hard to see. Sometimes we don't even look. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge or we'll turn away. But from God's point of view, we are precious, precious children worth every possible effort to bring joy and life to. Now, if we're going to connect to God that way, then we want to look at people the same way. And the neat thing about that is if we think ill of one another, we end up harming each other and both end up miserable. But if we think well of each other and try to encourage each other, try to find ways to offer our best wisdom and gifts without expecting anything in return or expecting anybody to follow it, but offering our best for their best interest, then there's always something good to find. There's always something good to recognize and to experience, to accept and to celebrate. And I think when we're seeing things good, when we're enjoying them, when we're happy about them, that's a good thing. I think that's the way life should be. I think we've lost our way in how to do that. And that's one of the reasons why Waystations is so important. We are trying to find ways to help people to see how to do that. So if we don't look at someone from a human point of view with jealousy and anger and bitterness and resentment and trying to get even, all that kind of stuff, if we put that aside and look at a person the way God looks at a person, then something wonderful happens. Now, this is a part I think a lot of people get confused by. It says this is, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Well, What does that mean? Does that mean that the whole world changes in an instant? We've not seen that happen in our lives, have we? That's not the way it works. It evolves. It develops. It moves and graduates. It always has been like that. So what is this all about? Well, everything old could be my old way of seeing things, my old way of doing things, the things that always caused me harm as well as others, always left me dissatisfied, unhappy, hungry. Those things pass away when I start to see the world in this new way. It's not that the world itself has changed, but the way we see it changes. The way we see people, the way we see one another, the way we care for each other, all these things become new. From once being a person who's always hungry and wanting, we become someone who's grateful and cheerful and seeing all the good that's coming to them and appreciating it in such a way that they can share their good and enjoy doing so. The cool thing is, for a person of faith, is once you start to see people this way and you see the world this way, well, it changes the way we treat the world. We start offering our best for others and we enjoy doing it. We can see the good that it brings to another person. We can see the help that it offers. We can see the hope that it brings. We can see the relief that it brings. And that gives us a joy. It's a little bit of a mystery of faith. It's the economy of God. But what it is simple. The more you give, the more you get. That's totally opposite of the way the world sees things. They say, the more you take, the more you have. But that's not really true. The more you take, the more resentment you have, the more misery you have, the more defensive you become. That's not a happy way to be. The more you give, the less you need. And the less you need, the happier you are. So, if we can look at one another in a new way, it will help set us free from the old way of thinking, the old way of feeling, the old way of doing, and the old way of being. And what's new is fresh and clean and wonderful. And we start exploring life as we did when we started out, looking at everything with wonder, looking at everything with excitement, and finding each new thing to have good in it and good through it. And thus we become people who bring good to others too. It happens from the time we're infants and it continues throughout our lives. Well, that's the idea. Let's think a little bit about how to change the way we think and see others. Because if we do that, we'll feel a lot better ourselves, and we'll be better for them, and I think they'll be better for us too. Thanks for tuning in to the Way Stations Ministries podcast, and I hope that you have a great week. I hope that we can connect again, because that's really the goal. It's not just about you and me, but how God connects to us in the conversation, in the speaking, in the listening, in the searching. Oh, what does Jesus say? What you seek, you will find. That's a great thing. So have a great week. Look around, enjoy it all, and know that there is more good yet to come. Well, I'd like to thank you for being with us this time and hope that you'll join us again next time, next week, when we get together for a little more time on the road together. May it be good for you all the way through.